views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome, welcome. Did I say welcome? Yes, I did. This is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, saying welcome. I think I already said that. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. For us, by us. Us meaning adults with ADHD. The podcast is part of a... How did you like that little slip? It's part of a three-prong approach. We've got the podcast, we've got the Facebook page and the Twitter account. It's all to help us, adults with ADHD. It's supported by the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, otherwise known as CADAC. Type CADDAC.ca into your web browser and you will have it appear. What is it? Well, their website. Now, it just won't appear out of thin air. You need a monitor. Just in case you're wondering. But it is a website, as I mentioned during every podcast, that is worth checking out, especially if you want to know more about ADHD. You want to know more and maybe some support issues and what you can do or how to wave that awareness flag, which is very important during this month. I'm doing this during the month of October 2019. October is ADHD Awareness Month. Here in Canada, I believe in the States, I believe in most of the world. And if it isn't in your country, make steps to make it happen. Hey, it's got to start somewhere, right? We have to wave that flag together. I am convinced that we are the people to make things happen. If we don't make steps, no one else will. We being the people with ADHD. And, you know, that's true with just about anything and everything in life, whether or not you have ADHD or not. I'm living proof. I know I'm living it. Is that if we're not willing to help ourselves, chances are good nobody else will be willing to help us either. They'll pity us instead if we're struggling. If we don't make a conscious effort, we're just going to be pitied. And pity does not help anyone. I know I've tried that strategy a lot because I have been blessed with that special package that often comes with ADHD, especially adult ADHD, depression. Yes, I do have it, and it comes and rears its head. And I know that during the last podcast, I mentioned that, yeah, I'm sailing through some rough waters. Some really strange things are happening. But right now, I'm seeing some friendly ports in the distance. It's true. I'll tell you what happened, and that I mentioned during the last podcast, I will tell you. I'm not going to bore you to death on it. I'll just tell you the highlights of the lowlights. Late in July, my mother passed. She was 96. She lived with us. We could have put her in a hospital, especially during the last year or whatever, when she was really struggling, but we chose not to. That was our decision. That was her hopes, and we honored that. Was it tough? Yes. I'm not looking for medals, but if you are handing out medals, please send one to my wife because she was the main caregiver. Was that tough on a marriage? Yes, it was. Especially since my mother would view me sometimes, you know, not so well because she didn't understand the ADHD thing and she thought, ah, maybe I was broken. I don't know. She warmed up to me more as she got a little more delusional. It's true. You know, back when she was in a solid state of mind, if I'd go into the area, or the granny suite, the in-law suite that we created here, she'd say, oh, what are you doing here? Then when she became more delusional, oh, where's Rusty? That's my nickname. Anyway, yeah, we chose that. It was rough. And yeah, losing her was rougher and rougher than I thought it would be. I'm it. My brother passed away, my father passed away, my mother has passed away. I'm it when it comes to that family unit. And that, you know, leaves you in a different state of mind as well. That happened. 10 days later, our nephew passes away from cancer. We thought he'd be around for more than what he was. We thought he had some time. He didn't. He lived thousands of miles away, but I was connecting with him through Facebook, getting to know him better. And he leaves behind a young family. And thank goodness his wife's parents are there to help. We're with them in our heart and in our mind, whatever way we can help. So yeah, that was impactful. Then I had a lot of little things going on. It got to the point that, you know, I was waiting for the next shoe to drop. Unfortunately, the thing that was wearing the shoes was an octopus. And it began to feel like one of those old Batman shows of the 1960s. I'll explain that further, but I'll tell you another low point. Our daughters decided, well, why don't you join us and go to Florida for a few days and decompress? Okay? Just get away from it. Sounded good on the surface. And our six-year-old grandson will come. He lives with us, as does his mother, our daughter. And we're a family unit there, and I'm more like a father figure to our little guy. He's a great little guy. He's looking forward to all us going. Then I realized, oh, my passport's out of date. Now, for those of you who don't know, I live in Canada, but I am not Canadian. I am an American, but I've lived in Canada most of my life, decades. My father was Canadian, which that would mean that I'm Canadian, but I have to have a way to validate it or a piece of paper to say that I am. I don't have that. When we moved to this country, back then they gave us a landing paper or whatever, and that was good to come and go as we saw fit, go wherever. But after 9/11, they came out with this immigration card or residence card. I don't know what they call it, but it has your photo on it. Did I get one back in the early 2000s? No. I'll get it tomorrow. ADHD? I'll do it tomorrow? Is there a link there? I didn't know I had ADHD back then. So I don't have one. I better apply for one. Now, I noticed that in order to do so, I need an up-to-date passport, my U.S. passport. I don't have that, but I thought by reading the website, I can do this. And I submitted it. I thought wrong. It was rejected. I have to get my passport up to date, but I can't get into the consulate till X date. I made it there last week. So now that's in the works. The tickets have been bought. It's in a time frame that's only a few weeks away, a time frame that works with my daughter's scheduling for work. They can't get away any other time, so rescheduling is not in the option. We have to do it in a few weeks' time. Not going to work. And I spoke to somebody at Immigration Canada. I think that's what they call it now. They used to call it that. They don't have any offices anymore. They just have a 1-800 number. And I was speaking to a clerk, I'm sure a young person with just a list of rules and regulations. Inflexibility. Not part of my job description. And she said to me, yeah, you'll get into the U.S. okay. Pretty good chance you're not going to be able to get back on the plane to go back to Canada. Whew. Who do I know in Florida? I've got a few cousins. That's about it. I wasn't even born in Florida. I was born in Boston. And then my old buddy, depression. You know that little present some of us, we ADHDers, have with us as a bonus? Yeah, I have that too. And no matter how I know more about ADHD and even help people with ADHD, and I've got a psychiatrist who I deal with ADHD, and I take the meds and all that stuff, and meds for depression, still sunk deep, deep, deep. What do I get out of it? Pity. Have you ever been in that position? Pity. You hear the words, ooh, that's sad. Now, our mind might think, well, if I tell my sad story enough, someone from somewhere will magically appear and help me and all will be well. Doesn't usually happen that way. You just get more pity. Who wants to help somebody who's pitiful? I have since learned, and I knew this, but the ADHD mind wasn't calculating, that if you're in a tough spot and you're depressed, and if you're not willing to help yourself, then there's a good chance no one else will be willing to step up to the plate. You increase the odds of someone helping you if you decide to help yourself, to make that first step. Then you tell, hey, I got this idea. You might get help for that idea, or maybe someone will pitch another idea. And that's what we're all about here, too, is exchanging ideas as a community, Club ADHD, right? the podcast, the Facebook page, and the Twitter account. So that was not working. It just wasn't. And then I get hit with something else. Ugh. I get hit with a major drop in my income. Now, the person who broke the news to me, a few of their comments could have been taken out of context, and maybe the old me would have done just that. The old me, prior to knowing about my ADHD, I could have zeroed in, blew up, and what would that have done? It would have easily burned a bridge, might have felt good for 10 seconds, but I would spend a lifetime regretting it, because this person and people can help me in the future. They can. So why jeopardize that relationship? Now, that doesn't mean that I have to agree with whatever reasons they decided to have to, cut some income there. No. Now, I could show that I understand perhaps why they felt that way. Maybe that's putting it in the wrong terms. I can understand the predicament that caused them to come to this conclusion, whatever, but I don't have to say, oh, yes, I agree with you. By the same token, I don't have to say, well, listen, you, I'm worth this and blah, 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 blah. I knew that it was done. In this instance, there was nothing much I could really say without causing a big to-do, a war. No one wins in war, despite what some people might tell you, because there are casualties. So, yeah, I'm living through this. But I see some hope. I'm doing some stuff. Is it paying dividends right now? No, but I can see that it probably will. And I'm feeling good about it. And it just happened. I can't explain how that change of mind, that thought, got me out of the depression aspect of it. And yeah, part of what helped me is that somebody reached out to me some weeks ago, tracked me down, got my number, and asked for help. And I helped them. And it made me feel better. It did. Why I'm saying this to you is not because I want your pity. I don't. I'm saying this to you so that I can come across like, hey, if you're in that situation, and many of us have been or are, that I'm in that situation too, and here's what I did. I don't know why, but I just did it. And you can too. Because just because we have ADHD doesn't mean that we have just negatives. We have lots and lots of positives. And sometimes we know that we have the positive, but we don't really become our own cheerleader within. And I'm sure you have positives that can change your life. I'm living it. My armor is pretty thin right now. I'll admit it. If something big came to me, a negative, yeah, it would put me down. I'm hopefully not for the count, but I would go down. Something happened to me a couple of days ago, and it hurt for the day, and it went away. Yeah, that rhymed. We just got to keep going, right? We have to believe in ourselves in order for other people to believe in us. It's like being in a Batman show. Remember the 1960s Batman TV series? Used to happen twice a week. If you're too young, maybe look it up on YouTube. Every episode, Batman and Robin would get in a fight with the bad guy. Could have been the Joker, could have been the Riddler, the Penguin, Catwoman, and those villains always had their henchmen, their gang, and Batman and Robin would end up in a fight, and you'd see splattered over, not splatter, but in a cartoon fashion, the word zap and bam, boof, with every punch. And sometimes life feels that way, like we're in that fight, and we're getting that biff and boom flashed before our eyes. Now, we can either be down for the counter or decide to get up. We can decide to be like the villain who gets conquered by Batman and Robin winning. Or we can be like Batman and Robin. Again, I'm telling you this firsthand. It's not something that I read in a book and I'm just regurgitating it to you. I'm living it. And that's the thing about Club ADHD. The people that we have on for our interviews, with one exception, they all have ADHD, so if they have some good things to tell or maybe some things that are troubling them, we can all relate and perhaps learn from it together. Because I don't care who you are, even if you're a friend of ADHD, if you don't have it, you won't know totally what it's like. You won't know. You might get up to 85%, but you won't know unless you have it. It's just one of those things. Things you don't read in a book, things that you gotta live, right? So that's why I'm telling you this. And I want to give a round of applause to some folks who have been saying some pretty nice things about the podcast and how it's helped them, and some nice things about me too. Whew. That helps me. I can't even measure it. Helps me to keep going, even when I'm in a rough spot. That last podcast I did, I was in a rough spot. I hope I didn't come across too bad. And sometimes we have to put that face on. I've done some radio shows during that time, and I had to be pleasant. It was tough, but I did. We can either choose to be pitied, or maybe we can create that help. Not luck, but help. And, you know, live better. That's why I'm telling you this. Now, I want to tell you something else. Coming up in the interview portion of the podcast, yes, we usually have an interview. And yeah, we'll be talking to somebody. Somebody who is no stranger to the podcast. He's been on twice before. But I had this idea. Again, to help me, to help you, to help everyone who listens or are involved in this podcast. And yeah, this podcast is a dream come true for me because I wanted to do this 12 years ago, but I didn't put my want into action. When I line up an interview, I usually chat with the person before and or after. And a lot of the times we talk about our ADHD, just, you know, what it's like to have ADHD. I talk about what I feel it's like, and they talk about what it's like, and we find some common ground. And, oh, yeah, you do that too. And I thought it was pretty interesting. So interesting. Why not have that conversation during the portion of the program we call the interview portion of the podcast? Not an interview, but a chat. So I came up with this title for it, and it's lengthy. Yeah. Oh, I have these brainwaves. The Club ADHD two-person roundtable on ADHD without the table. It's two-person because, yeah, I don't have the ability for the three-person the way I'd like the quality to be. Maybe we get some funds going, some more funds coming in, and that'll change. But I thought, this will be interesting. I'll learn from it. Maybe the other person will learn from it. And most importantly, you might even learn from it because it'll be like, hey, I go through that too. And you know what? I did it a couple of days ago, and it came out better than I had hoped. Really? Yeah, there was a couple. I noticed a couple of thumps where the guest was inadvertently hitting his table and was coming across. I hope you can just put that aside. That'll happen a little bit. I hope it's not too distracting. But I didn't want to interrupt the flow. We were really getting into it. Come up with some good ideas, and I was really excited. Plus, during that chat, we are going to announce, or I'll announce, something that involves the person who I'm chatting with, where they'll be dropping by during every podcast for a brief little segment that will help us all. That's all I'll say right now about that. Makes the podcast even better, I think. Now, the person I'm going to talk to, his name is Jason Froetz. I talked to Jason a few podcasts ago, and he's been on, well, that was the second appearance. He has ADHD, an adult with ADHD. We met by way of his son, who has ADHD, who was taking part in an animation for Kodak. They did three animations revolving around kids with ADHD, and I was the person who was recording the voice actors. The kids weren't really actors, they were just kids, and I had to coach them along and record them and edit and all that stuff. And then I got to know his father, and we were talking, and we both come from the same mindset. We both have the same goals. It's a good fit. As a result, I think we're all going to benefit from this. I hope. Fingers crossed. So, without further ado, it's time for the interview portion of the podcast, which in this case won't be a true interview. It will be a chat. We have Jason Froetz, our resident coach. I'm going to give you a round of applause for that because we're going to be launching something called Tips and Tricks, where you give a tip of the day and knowledge. That's the key to succeeding, and you'll be our knowledge expert. But I'd like to do right now, we often get together and we talk about our ADHD, and that's what I'd like to do right now. Just talk about it so people can listen and say, hey, I'm not alone. I can identify with that. And there's something that you mentioned during our last chat off mic. You said something that was really, well, it hit home. You said that having ADHD is work. And I thought that was true. And we always have to second guess ourselves. And I know people say, oh, don't second guess yourself. But if you have ADHD and you know you do, sometimes you're trying to edit what you're doing for fear that you know it and you don't want to experience it. And, well, you explain, I guess, is the best thing. How does that relate to you?
It's interesting, Russ. I remember our conversation, and I remember you, you know, some of the comments you made. And yeah, it was great just to have a chat about it. You know, it's often, you know, as much as I'm an ADHD coach, you know, we both have ADHD, you know, I don't often get a chance to kind of, you know, have the water cooler chat with anybody about it. So, you know, thank you for that conversation.
Well,
it was
no,
nice to-
but I thought it was a really cool. I mean, yeah, it is work, isn't it? I mean, it's one thing to have something, but to know you have it and to witness it, to have a front row seat, I think it can be very painful, but yeah, it's work.
Yeah, you know, and again, I was just going to say that the, you know, what you pulled from that conversation was not what I expected. You know, I think it's great that you did, because I didn't even notice it, but I remember saying it, but not, you know, maybe to the depth that, you know, you're exploring it. And I think it's so true. I think it's so true. ADHD being work, you know, I think what I was referring to was that to manage it properly, you know, I don't know, in society, you know, out and about with friends and family and at work, you know, one has to almost be hyper conscious, like hyper vigilant, you know, about everything we do, kind of always checking and rechecking.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense? Like,
So many people say, oh, just get on with it. You know, stop your complaining, stop your whining. We don't mean to whine. We don't mean to complain. Well, at least what I'm thinking is that we're just saying, hey, this is the way that my brain is thinking. You know, we're not doing it to drive anyone crazy, because at times it can drive us crazy.
For sure, for sure. And I don't know about you, but do you ever find that when you've got, when you're focused on something, you got to get something done, we have to manage our ADHD cognitively. We have to use strategies just to stay focused, stay on track, use timers so that we don't go over time, or we don't go down a rabbit hole with a distraction. But the problem with that is, how do you turn that kind of hyper awareness off? You know, because, you know, we want to have fun and socialize with friends. And then if that button is still turned on, then we're a little bit robotic, you know? And it's almost like we've got a manual car.
We're
very conscious about how we switch the gears all the time.
Exactly. And if we don't press the clutch hard enough, then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe it's even a hybrid where you've got, you know, automatic. We have to be on automatic when we're, you know, socially out there and trying to be natural and be ourselves. But there's so many times in life where it feels like we're not allowed to be ourselves.
Yeah.
You bring up
a good point. I mean, I have a psychiatrist who says just don't focus on your ADHD. Just forget about it. It's part of you. But that, to me, it's easier said than done. As you say, we've got to find a fine line of not being too aware, but yet be aware enough. And if we're not aware enough, then it was something bad or something challenging will happen. And if we're too, you know, laid back, that it's the average bear out there, the average person does not know what it's all about.
No, you know, and I'm sure, you know, everybody's got their challenges, you know, everybody's got their own thing that they have to deal with. You know, this is the cross we bear, but I, you know, at the same time though, there's a ton of strengths that come along with ADHD,
sure.
but that being said, ADHD can be work. It can be work, and we can't deny that. I don't want to minimize it or spin it. I think it is, it's a very deliberate, active kind of monitoring and management of what we do every day. And imagine if we didn't have to do that. That's the thing I get. Like, what do you think, Russ? Like, imagine if we didn't have to do that, how much energy we could save, you know?
Yeah, but sometimes I'm thinking firsthand here. Imagine if we didn't have this, or imagine we didn't have to do that. Sometimes, I don't know if it's the same for you, but my mind is hyper-focused on imagine, imagine, imagine. And sometimes I hyper-focus on that imagine without dealing with the reality. It gives me a headache.
that's so true. That's so true. We focus on, we can hyper-focus on what we imagine to be there or what we'd like to be there. And then time goes by and then it's like, wait a sec here. maybe I should have been focusing on something, you know, more tangible, or like paying the bills or doing my taxes or something like that.
A lot of people are in that boat, with especially with ADHD. Yeah, taxes. Yeah. Oh, I'm so far behind. It's kind of funny because we were talking about this and I had mentioned that, oh, I've got to take off during, I don't know, it's 5 minutes to the hour or whatever, because I have to pick up my grandson. And then I got on a topic, and then all of a sudden I'm looking at the clock and you're talking to me, and I was like, whoa, I missed the deadline. I gotta go.
yeah. I mean, you know, the other side of that too is that, you know, some of the executives I coach, Russ, like, they experience the same thing. It's uncanny actually how the symptoms of ADHD are so consistent with like almost everyone I coach. But some of the executives I coach currently, they, I don't think they change it for the world, because the imagination that they have and the, it's more the problem solving, I think, in their respective businesses that they're able to do with ADHD.
Yeah.
Is kind of what makes them special, you know. They're known for this, and they don't, I don't think anybody necessarily knows that it's ADHD. I think they just see creativity. They see, yeah, a creative approach to a traditional problem that others couldn't really solve, or thinking out of the box, or having a vision that was different. I read recently a quote from David Neeleman, you know, who is the founder and owner of, I guess, previous owner of JetBlue. Have you ever flown on JetBlue before?
No.
Is an ad for JetBlue, but.
Well, hey, if it is, then, hey, we can use a few tickets here. Come on, JetBlue.
Yeah, well, he's part of our tribe. But no, David Neeleman, he, you know, someone asked him, I think it was in Forbes or something, and asked him, if you could take a pill to get rid of your ADHD, would you? And he said, absolutely not. You know, this is what's given me the edge. So I don't know, Russ, what would you do if you could take something to remove your ADD, like everything?
Oh, no, I wouldn't. And it's funny, I tweeted a couple of days ago, said, yeah, a lot of people don't understand us, and we're thinking about the negatives, but we don't really think about even the positives. Some of the people who are the normal people would give all the money in the world to have some of the talents that are associated with our ADHD.
Yeah. You know, my wife, you know, she tells me frequently, you know, she says, like, you know, you've got so much creativity. I wish I had an ounce of that creativity. I'll be honest. I think I probably take it for granted, and I don't mean to, but it's just I think maybe the mistake is that I feel that others, you know, have the same kind of unique way to approach problems.
Sure.
But that's not true. You know, there is that one thing I can say for sure is that probably 90% of the people I coach, Russ, have this ability to be just so open-minded about things. They're probably the best anthropologist out there, because they're able to kind of remove, you know, judgment and bias. And I think we have that kind of ability to be accepting and fundamentally, you know, non-judgmental. And that's something that's really refreshing to work with, that kind of demeanor.
Yeah, it's and to those people who might be listening who are thinking, you know, a part of the percentage that aren't creative, perhaps. So you've got talents in there somewhere. I mean, ADHD just doesn't come with all the negative stuff. There's positive stuff. Just unearth that if you're not sure of what those positives are, because they are out there. They're in you. They're in, not out there. They're in you.
Yeah. Sometimes we're just so inner-focused that we don't see those things.
Yeah.
We don't see the strengths. And I'd encourage others that are listening to ask people you care about, ask people that you trust, what your strengths are. It's something I do with my clients a lot, is I'll ask them to go out to their network, to those they trust, that care about them, and ask what they think their strengths are. And you might be surprised what comes back, because I was surprised when I did that. And things came back. And I said, wow, really? I do that? I didn't know that was a strength. And that was unique. And it can be really, really helpful, because it's almost impossible to be objective oneself.
Yeah.
So we need that help, I think, sometimes.
I'm thinking back of another instance on Facebook where we're doing this now so people can relate. And it's true. I guess talking about, we don't get a chance to do it, and we isolate ourselves. But there was one instance on the Facebook page where I threw out a question, and I'm just going to mention it. I can't say it verbatim, but despite what you know about ADHD, are there times when people with ADHD bug you when they're doing something ADHD-like? I'm holding my hand up. Yes, sometimes I can be bugged by people with ADHD because of their ADHD. I'll be truthful. I have to say, I hold back and say, well, that's their ADHD talking. But it still bugs me.
That's so funny you say that. I got to be honest. Like when I first started coaching, you know, over 10 years ago, I was kind of worried that I'd get this room. And I hate to admit this, but I had this stereotypical image of the ADHDer. And I have ADHD.
Yeah.
But there was going to be a large proportion of those hyperactive type ADHD, you know, in my clinic, and that's fine, you know, that was the case. Okay, so be it. But I just wasn't sure if I had the energy for that. And the reality is, I don't know in 10 years if I've seen any kind of overt expression of that. You know, sometimes clients would need to stand up and walk around to kind of burn off extra energy, or maybe use a couple of squeeze balls or something, you know. But, you know, has anybody ever kind of irritated me? Maybe on occasion, if someone's distracted, not listening, or sometimes people will be, you know, impulsive and need to interrupt. But other than that, pretty good. I don't think...
Maybe I'm a lone wolf on this, but it's true, though. I had a couple of instances recently, not directly impactful. Well, one was impactful to me, but I had to hold back and say, okay, this is the ADHD talking here. This is what it is, but it's still a little annoying, and I can understand why other people are really annoyed. But you mentioned about being a coach that there might be a comic strip in there somewhere where you have an ADHD coach with ADHD such as yourself, and in listening to the other person with ADHD, and all of a sudden you're thinking, this guy's really bugging me. He's bugging me and bugging me. That's great that you... that you get hyper-focused. But that's good that that doesn't happen to you. That wouldn't be a good thing.
Well, you know, Russ, maybe I'm bugging them sometimes. I don't know. I have ADHD too, right? You know, it could be. But I mean, I will say, maybe it's also just thinking as you're talking, the clinic setting, that everybody's on their best behavior, you know, with coach, right? Because I do know a couple of people, actually one family member who will remain nameless in my extended family, who has full-blown ADHD and hyperactive type, and really, really irritating. Great, great individual, wonderful, but just drives everybody crazy sometimes when that individual is on a hyper-focused tear, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there are people out there, too, who can identify with this, that ever since they, whoever they are, that it's not ADD, it's all ADHD, and then you got to remove the hyperactivity, which to me sounds a little bit almost ADHD-like, because you have to go through a whole harangue to explain something that if you're telling someone or asking, do you have ADHD? Yes, I have ADHD, but I'm not hyperactive. It's almost like, you know, I'm not one of them. I'm not bouncing off the walls.
You know something, Russ? What do you think about this? I'm curious what the audience out there thinks too. But I've never liked the term ADHD, just because I think it's misleading. And I understand that it started somewhere. You know, it had to have a name somewhere. But I think it needs to be rebranded. I think it needs to be renamed.
Well, a lot of people have issues, and with the one word disorder, it paints a bad picture. You're broken.
Yeah.
We're not broken.
That's
we're
right.
different.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're just not the neurotypical brain.
Yeah.
You know? And but, I wouldn't have it any other way, to be honest.
Well, it's true. You mentioned about, you know, the founder of JetBlue. Yeah, if we're so broken, then how come a lot of people who make a difference, who change the way we do things, have ADHD? They can't be that broken.
Yeah. Yeah. My dad used to say that nobody who is average ever changes the world. I really believe that to be true. I'm really lucky to have met and coached the people that I do, because they've got their own little quirks. You know, everybody's got a little bit different, but thank goodness for that, because that's what makes the difference. That, you know, if everybody was just the same and thought the same way, honestly, like, life would be boring. Like, and my practice would be really boring. I've got a good friend who just texted me he's in Denver, Colorado. He's a police officer. And I remember that one of my clients I've been coaching for years, university student, just became a police officer about a year ago. He lives in Denver. And I just decided, because my friend was down there on a conference, a police conference, I said, why don't you guys meet up and say hello? And this individual that I used to coach, you know, he's a mixed martial artist. He was on the U.S. karate team, one of the top guys in karate. Now he's a police officer at the local university. And his goal next is to become an FBI agent and maybe work with the Secret Service. So a lot of us are interesting. And it was really cool to put those guys in touch, a good friend of mine and an old client, and because they're both in the same job, right? Same career. And I got this text with this picture of the two of them together to say hi. And it was really cool. The feedback my friend gave me was like, this guy's super interesting. And I got to say that about everybody I've met with ADHD. We're definitely not boring tribe,
yeah,
are we?
No, that's the first thing I thought of when you were saying that is that, you know, if people didn't have ADHD, there'd be a lot of boring people. And one thing that popped into my ADHD brain, into my advertising brain, is I thought the first time that stovetop stuffing was being introduced by way of a TV commercial, and they were referring to it as not brown, boring, and potato-like, meaning that, you know, sometimes stuffing is blah, but we're not boring, we're not potato-like, you know, we're not just a blob. And that's us,
right?
You know, we're not that.
I got to use that, Russ. You know,
you have to be careful. Oh, you said brown. No, it's not racial. It's just that referring to stuffing. But yeah, it's not brown, boring, and potato-like.
So funny. Well, we're definitely not that, Russ.
No, we're not. And if it weren't for us, as you say, life would be boring, and we'd probably be walking or riding a horse. because we are innovators.
that's so true. That's so true. You know, you don't have to look far. You know, for those who are listening, you don't have to look far for examples of ADHDers in the past. And you look at innovators. You know, and even though they might not have been diagnosed officially, I mean, you know, you can see the traits that are there.
We have that radar, don't we? I mean, people back in the day, people who were referred to once as gay, they would say, we have our gaydar. Well, we have our ADHD radar. What about you? Can you spot someone with ADHD pretty quickly?
I mean, I like to think I can. You know, I try to turn it off as much as I can because I'm working, you know. You know, but at the same time, I can't help but notice it. I think anybody who's listening here who has ADHD, you know, you guys, you see it, right? You'll see it in other people. And so I'm curious, you know, it's like, oh, I wonder if. And it's funny. And again, there's that adage that, you know, everybody with ADHD is different. Well, that's true. Yep. Everybody has a different version of ADHD. It's true.
Yep.
But I actually am more struck by the similarities of ADHD. I see a lot more similarities than I do see differences. But I do see a big contrast between someone who has ADHD and someone who doesn't.
Sure.
And that's the biggest contrast I see. And again, it's honestly, it's more the strengths that make me really curious.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it's just it's refreshing talking to somebody with ADHD. And maybe that's why I love what I do.
You're doing it. You're living it. And you're right. Yeah. And that's the difference between you and me, because you wonder. I don't wonder. I say to myself, that guy has it or she has it. It's no wonder. But you're right. It's supposed to be such a broad spectrum. But then again, it can be narrow enough that we can spot it. And wouldn't it be great if society not only could spot it, but could understand it? That would be terrific. And I think maybe we're not aggressive enough when it comes to that, that we're mamby-pamby. We're going to provide this and almost holding our hat in hand saying, could you please help us? We're not saying that directly, but we're inferring, as opposed to, hey, buddies, hey, people, we have it. We have strengths. Deal with it, because we are changing your life, whether you like it or not. So you might as well get on board and help us out so we can have a better society.
Yeah. You know, that's, I often say to clients that, you know, unfortunately, let's say ADHD is an evolutionary trait that you know, is selected for. But we live in a world right now that is so very clinical in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, the rules have been created by someone without ADHD, let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
And so that's fine. But I wonder if there's a time, you know, there was a time, or if there will be a time where it's not that. Maybe it's the other way around.
Yeah.
You know?
People have to catch up to us. Maybe, just maybe, we're the ones evolving faster than the normal people. Because you said that's the first thing that came to my mind is that, hey, yeah, maybe we're ahead of the curve.
Yeah. There's a good friend of mine who she's very, very well read, very knowledgeable, science background. And she just told me the other night, she said, you know, she read some theory about someone, it was a researcher studying another, there's a disease that he was studying, but, you know, related it to autism and ADHD, and it's like a mast cell disease, I can't remember. But where he was going with this was that he believes that it's really a selected for trait, you know, selected for genes for ADHD, because we've actually been selected for because of our ability to adapt. In a way, kind of a knee-jerk reaction. We do very, very well in emergency situations, typically. We tend to do very, very well when we have to adapt and be chameleon-like in a certain situation. So his theory was that that's the way we're built. We're actually more suited to an environment that's changing. We're more suited to an environment where we have to react quickly and effectively where others might fail. So, you know, it's almost kind of like we're the fish that is in a world that's trying to climb, that we're forced to climb a tree, but we really are more suited to be in a pond.
I just got an idea. My ADHD kicked in, and I got a new creative idea how we can explain ADHD. We are the new fire. And I say this because fire can do a lot of damage if it's not handled correctly, but it can be wonderful if you know how to handle it.
Yeah, absolutely, Russ. I mean, I had this presentation I used to do many years ago called ADHD, How to Harness the Power of Your Ferrari Brain. And I think a lot of the people that came to the presentation really liked it, because I've never owned a Ferrari. I don't know if you have, Russ, but...
Let me check. No, not lately.
Well, look at the garage. Oh, I don't have a garage.
No.
There's no Ferrari out there. Trust me on that. But there's that power in that car. But often we're that fast car sitting in the parking lot, and we go somewhere, and we hit the gas, and we spin our tires so much that there's smoke, lots of noise, but we don't sometimes go that far because we don't have maybe the right tires, or we don't know how to get traction. But once we get that traction, though, you know, we can move fast.
Sure, but there's a but there, Jason. If you don't know how to drive a Ferrari, you're going to crash.
That's a great point. Yeah, absolutely. We have to read the driver's manual.
Yeah.
You know? And unfortunately, ADHD does not come with the driver's manual.
No, it doesn't. Maybe you and I can create maybe all of us together at Club ADHD can create that manual. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be cool. I would almost love to hear what, you know, some of the audience members are thinking. And you know, like, what should be in that manual, everybody? You know, I'm actually curious to hear what your tips are. You know, maybe you could, you know, send a note into to Russ.
I think we've got something here. We've got something that we can hang our hat on. Well, let's create that ADHD manual, and everybody can read it and figure it out. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Again, a lot of my ideas, you know, I certainly have my own thoughts on things and my own strategies that have developed over the years. But I learn a lot from you guys. Like, I learn a lot that because you guys have had to struggle and figure things out on your own for the most part. And so I become kind of like this hub, you know, where it's like, oh, okay, here's a menu of the things I've heard that might be helpful. So maybe we kind of work together and write that driver's manual, eh, Russ?
Yeah, so I'm looking at the clock on the wall. I know you've got to run, you've got an appointment, but we should continue this conversation. You're going to be around doing the tips and tricks, but maybe we can make this a regular thing where you and I can chat and maybe work out the technical side of it. We bring a couple of other people on board and we can just talk about it, and I think that'd be a good idea. I know you've inspired me, and I hope it's the other way around, and with the listeners listening in, we've got a lot of good access to some great ideas there. So thank you, Jason, for another round of applause for you for all of that you do.
Thanks, Russ.
And we'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks so much, Jay. Thanks for having me on the show. And, you know, pleasure to be here. And it's great just to kind of talk casually about this.
Yeah.
And hopefully this is, you know, helpful to those who are listening. And but don't be shy, you guys. Please ask some questions. And please, you know, send us a note and what you think could be in that driver's manual. I'd be very curious to hear what you have to say.
And remember, Jason, you are not only on the show, you are now a part of the show.
Thanks, Russ. Appreciate it.
And that was our chat with our latest Club ADHD supersonic member. I just invented that category. It's Jason Froetz. He's going to be helping us here on Club ADHD every podcast. And if you'd like to check out his website, I'll give you the web address. You can't check it out right now if you're tuning in or downloading just after I uploaded this, because his website is under construction. He's revamping it. But if you want to hold off for a few weeks, you'll see the new and improved website. I'm sure it'll be new and improved. But here's the web address. animarecoaching.com. That's A-N-I-M-A-R-E coaching.com. And he will be with me to launch a feature called TNT. He will be a part of it, giving some advice. TNT standing for tips and tricks. TNT. How's that for an explosive name? Yeah, that'll be happening during the next episode. Be on the lookout for that. Check our Facebook page and our Twitter account. I always make the announcement. I try to do this every 2 weeks. Sometimes I have to catch up, and I'm in catch-up mode right now, so it could be a week from now. So you never know. So be on the lookout for that. All right. If you want to find a link to our Facebook page and the Twitter account, and maybe drop me a line too, you can visit clubadhd.ca. That's clubadhd.ca. Yes, our webpage is a little blah, but it is functional. It has the necessary information on there, but we are going to make it even snappier, hopefully within the next few days. I've got everything lined up. Just got to beta test it, see if it works, and if it does, hallelujah. And if it doesn't, we'll stick with our old one for now. So that's what's going on there as well. Let's see. I told you about my trip to Florida and how that immigration clerk, I guess, at the 1-800 number told me, oh, if you go to Florida or the U.S., you won't be able to come back to Canada without your necessary paperwork. Well, I figured it out. I was down in the dumps, but I got out of the dumps and figured out a strategy, and I presented it to people in the know, and they said, yeah, this is going to work. 99% chance. Hopefully that 1% won't come back to bite me. I'll let you know if I'm stuck in Florida. Fingers crossed. Hell, I've been living in Canada for 50 years. What can I say? My lineage in Canada goes way back to the 1650s. How does that impress you? Okay, that and a quarter won't get you a cup of coffee, but I thought I'd throw that out there. What else? All right, I want to thank CADAC, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, for their support. Don't forget to visit their website for all the information that you need to know and more about ADHD and how you can be an ADHD advocate, and about their upcoming conference, their annual conference. If you're listening to this podcast, and right now, officially, I'm going to have this uploaded on October the 9th. Well, you still have a little time, because on October 19th, that is the weekend for their CADAC conference. It's being held in Toronto, 2-day affair. I've worked many of them, and it's terrific. You get to see and meet experts and fellow ADHDers. And the running comment that I hear from everyone is that it's relaxing. They don't have to put on a mask because everyone around us, are just like us, ADHDers. So there's nothing to hide. Now, this year, they've got some interesting keynote speakers and seminars, and they've got some comedy going on later in the day on Saturday, and they're going to unveil a few things. So check it out. That's the CADAC conference. It happens on the weekend of October 19th in Toronto. Visit their website for full details. That's CADDAC.ca, the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. I want to take this time to thank those people who took the time to drop me a line. Many of them doing so by way of our Facebook page. And it's always nice to know that we're helping people. And you know what? I even got some nice comments about me. That made me feel better, especially in the rough waters. You know, I'm trying to keep my head above water, and you see that. It makes you feel warm and fuzzy, and it gives you the energy to carry on. That's right. I've got the torch up high. I'm going to burn the ceiling if it gets any higher. But I really appreciate it. And speaking of comments, when Jason and I were chatting, we mentioned about wouldn't it be nice to have an ADHD manual, and we jokingly said, well, we weren't totally joking. We were serious. Hey, we'd love to hear your comments and read your comments about what could be included in such a manual. Well, I'm going to do something on our Facebook page, and I'm going to ask that question. You can post your comments on that or send them to me by way of email on clubadhd.ca. And speaking of Facebook, I mentioned about a new group I'll be establishing that means that we won't terminate the existing Facebook page, but the new group will be closed, so you can talk freely and you can make comments freely. You can start threads. I've got to work out some of the details. It might take some administration and stuff, but I'm working on that. And as I had mentioned, that, you know, going through some rough waters, so that kind of put that on the back burner for now, but that'll happen. So again, something else to look forward to. We're making headway here on Club ADHD. Please tell friends, especially those who have ADHD, bring them on board. You know, the more the merrier, the bigger the group, the better we can help more people. Plus, we can band together, and if the opportunity arises, maybe we can collectively, you know, make our voice heard. And hopefully that will lead to changes. It doesn't matter where you are in this world. We have listeners throughout the world. You don't have to be just in Canada. No. Anywhere and everywhere. We have listeners in Australia, in China, all over the UK, various parts of Europe, all over the place. I think even in India, of course, the US and Canada. Not sure about Mexico. Hey, if you know some people from Mexico, tell them about it, especially if they have ADHD. I don't know what the situation is there. Different countries, different views on ADHD. I told you about this several podcasts ago. I was interviewed by South Korean television, and they're just in the learning phases about ADHD, and they came to North America to find out how North Americans are discussing ADHD and what's being done. Hopefully, with each passing day, more and more. Fingers crossed. All right. Is there anything else that I'm leaving behind? What am I forgetting? That's usually a funny question. What am I forgetting? Well, if I knew, I wouldn't be forgetting it. Where's the rim shot there? I think we're okay. I think we're all set to go. Of course, October being ADHD Awareness Month, and it's the perfect time to end the program as I always do. And I'll do it now. This is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, reminding you to whenever, wherever, say it loud, say it proud, ADHD is real. Bye for now.